14, the first 10 verses. We're not going to read them. I'll just kind of just overplay what's being said here. You know, throughout the Old Testament, it's like a photo album of Jesus. Now, understand, Paul uses this terminology and he says that Adam is the first Adam and Jesus is the last Adam, not the second Adam. You got to understand what I talked to you about last time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15 says, rightly divide the word of truth. And that's the main problem with the church. We're the ones that have the gospel message, and yet we have not rightly divided the word of truth. So 2 Timothy 2:15 says, it's the Apostle Paul, and he's exhorting Timothy. He's saying, look, Timothy, it's not just speaking a word. It's not just picking a verse and making a teaching out of it. Because you can make a teaching out of most any verse that you look for. But does it fit with the puzzle of the gospel message of the kingdom? See, it's not heaven, Jesus, what's happening on earth. No, it's all put together. That's why it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. It's always been about God, and it will end with God. Nothing is started without Him, and nothing ends without Him. So it's not what happened between the first Adam and the last Adam. It's all combined together. So if you divert to anything other than Jesus, you've missed it. It's not about putting a little cross over your doorpost. It's not about some plaque with a scripture. Everything ends with Jesus. So if you were to take anything outside of that, you're missing the message. Fabian, can you get these lights, Mio? Appreciate it. So, understand, it's not about some apparel. It's not about some garment. It's not about something that you put over to pray. Anything that you dress yourself with. Remember, we are earthen vessels. And as earthen vessels, God chose us. Not the beauty of the appellations, not the glory or greatness on the earth about something. It's all about Him. So you've got to understand, once you begin to see that God has chosen to pour His treasures. Listen to what I'm saying. He has chosen to put His treasure in you. When you understand that, you'll treat your spouse different. You'll treat your children different because you see them as the earthen vessels of the Lord. So, as we rightly divide the word of truth this morning, in Leviticus 14, is one of the most awesome, awesome portraits of Jesus. He's throughout the Old Testament. Before His coming, all of these things were portraits, pictures of the Messiah to come. Now, in Leviticus 14, we all lie on the same page. We were all sinners. there's not one person that was good enough that can say they don't need the Savior. All have sinned. See, that's what it means about rightly dividing the word of truth. All have sinned. Every pope, priest, and pastor has sinned. There's only one that was without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. It's Jesus. He's the only one. He fulfilled the law. He said, "Think not," in Matthew 5, "that I've come to destroy the law, but rather to fulfill it." This is why when he went to be baptized, he told John, no, you need to baptize me. And what did he say after that? To fulfill all righteousness. So now, instead of us being sinners saved by grace, we are now the righteousness of God. You are his righteousness. Because of the work of the cross, you have been made as righteous as the Son of the living God. That's amazing. So your sins are not only forgiven, you now display, wherever you're at your place of employment, in your home, visiting the neighbor, you portray the righteousness of God. And there's nothing that you've done about it, nor anything you can do about it. This is the working of the cross. That's why in Leviticus 14, you can read it on your own time, the first 10 verses, this is what puts us all on the same page. No one is more saved than the other. No one is closer to God than the other. We're all the same. I like to ask people, if you and I were conversing right now and the Lord were to show up, who would he speak to more? Me, the pastor? Or you, just a person that just has a regular job and just trying to do what you can? He said, "Well, you know, I'm not really going to church right now. I'm not really doing anything religious," so he'd probably come and talk to you more than me. No, we'd be the same as children of God. No one is closer to God because of their position. God doesn't love me more or tend to me more or answer me more than others because I'm the pastor of the church. I study more. I do more. That's not what he was looking for. He's looking for hearts. So understand about Leviticus. It makes us all sinners because leprosy is a disease that at times is represented in Scripture by leprosy. That's why the lepers were totally separated from the children of God. And lepers could only live with other lepers. So the only thing a leper can give you is his leprosy. The only thing a sinner can give you is his sin. But with God, he takes us from being lepers to being earthen vessels filled with his Spirit. Imagine you and I were in a fallen state, and because of the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension, we are now children of the Most High God. Mario said it earlier. Jesus said, "If I go be with the Father, every promise that I've given you, I can fulfill." Where is he? At the right hand of God. Doing what? Making intercession for us. So, as lepers, there was no sick, there was no healing for leprosy. If you had leprosy, you were going to die of leprosy. So the only one that can cleanse you of your sin is Jesus. Now, in those first 10 verses of Leviticus 14, this is the picture that you'll find. The Lord said, in the case of someone who has their leprosy healed, he said, take an earthen vessel and get that vessel, and I want you to take a clean bird. Take that bird, put it on gopher wood, tie it with scarlet, and put it inside that earthen vessel, running over. It's got to be running water. No lake, nothing stagnant, not anything that's just still, because that stillness becomes filthy. A pool of water after so long begins to have a stench on it because there's no life coming to it. That's why the Dead Sea is dead. There's no water coming in it or coming out. So when you look at the Lord, you will find his crucifixion, you'll find his resurrection, and you'll find his ascension in the picture that Scripture gives us of the leper being cleansed. So all of us are an earthen vessel. So all of us portray that of Leviticus 14. So the priest, it says, when someone feels that their leprosy is gone, that means their spots are gone. Jesus had no spot, no blemish, no wrinkle, because there was no sin about him. So through one man, sin entered into the world. And through one man, sin was broken off of every earthen vessel. See, even the people out there that aren't saved, they're cleansed. They just don't know it. That's why Salvador and Moses and Jesus have got to open these doors and tell them that there's someone that has inspected them and has found them clean of their sin. So in Leviticus, it says, when a man felt he had been healed, or a woman, whatever the case was, it says, take them to the priest. See, Church of Acts cannot claim you clean. Only one, Jesus. People can come to these altars and say whatever they want to say, pray whatever they want to pray, believe in whatever they want to believe. Only one pronounces them clean. It's the high priest from heaven's camp. So whenever the leper thought he'd been healed, he would have to come to the camp of Israel and call out one person, the high priest. And the high priest would come out of the camp and inspect him. And when he inspected him and he found no spot or blemish, he would then begin the sacrifice. So you have to find running water like a river. Take an earthen vessel and take a bird, a clean bird. Tie it around the gopher wood with scarlet. Put him inside the earthen vessel and get a weapon like an ice pick, and then have to pick the side of that bird, and they would pierce the bird. Because remember, with the sacrifice, they always needed two. One to be killed, and then the other one to show the picture of the resurrection. So the priest would go in there and he would poke the side of that bird. Remember, they pierced Jesus' side. You see the picture? So they would take that bird full of its own blood, and he would take it out, and he would sprinkle the leper 7 times. What is the number 7? Perfection. So in a perfected way, he was sprinkling that warm blood on that leper. And he felt that blood. The blood that came from some sacrifice, that leper would feel it. Because the priest would strip him naked and sprinkle that blood. And he knew that it took the life of something else to give him life. And the leper felt that. He'd have to go around his tent 7 days of completion. So through the sacrifice of something dead, someone had received life. So then the leper would understand what was being done, because the priest then would take out that dead bird and he would untie the scarlet and he would get a clean living bird and he would tie it to that gopher wood, the crucifixion, and he would dip it inside that earthen vessel with all of that blood that he was using to cleanse the leper. And all of this was a sacrifice, and God was receiving it. But then when he would take out that living bird, after sprinkling the leper, he would loosen it, and guess what? The living bird would fly off, filled with blood, as a picture of the resurrection and the ascension. And then the priest would say, "Now thou art clean." Then he could go, and after the 7 days, he would be able to be cleansed again and be accepted in Israel's camp as a whole new vessel. Didn't have to live with the lepers anymore. Didn't die of leprosy. Now he was a new creation. So for us to understand, there are portraits of Jesus throughout the Old Testament. But this one, Leviticus 14, is one that is very close to us, because in that cleansing, you and I were there. You and I were lepers, spiritually speaking. And in that leprosy, it was a sign that we were in a lost condition and there was nothing anyone could do to be able to pronounce you clean. Nothing. That's why the leper had to go and present himself before the priest. No one else. So in like fashion, when you came before Jesus, he's the one that in heaven heralds your name, and he introduced you in heaven as a new creation. An earthen vessel filled with his treasure, and that treasure is the Holy Ghost. So see, we still categorize people by position, by calling, by ministry. We got the fivefold ministry: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor. But those are just callings. They don't separate us in the family of God. We're all the same. We're all as clean as the other. So it's not how much you study, how much you pray, how much you do, and that's where people get caught up. Well, this person does more than the other. It doesn't matter. We're all children in the sight of God. And if someone were to come to the Lord right now, today, this morning, they've been given as much as someone who's been in the ministry the last 50 years. Because it's the gift of God. So, when we all stood before the Lord, that's the only way we could stand as lepers, all of us, to one man, the first man, Adam. We were all made sinners. But if you believe that we were all made sinners because of the first Adam, then you've got to believe the report of the last Adam. You've now been made the righteousness of God. So that's the picture in the Old Testament. It is one that has the crucifixion, it has the death, it has the burial, it has the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. All in Leviticus 14, the first 10 verses. It's all there. So you and I have been cleansed, and you and I have been called to be earthen vessels, treasures of the Lord. That's why he says in the book of Ephesians, I've chosen to deposit in you my greatest gift, the gift of the Spirit, the one that will come after me, the Paracletos, the one that will come and speak in my behalf, and he will teach you all things. That Spirit abides in you. He has chosen not to put this treasure on some monument, some place for you to go visit, some place for you to go see, some place for you to go and reach on your knees and suffer. The suffering is over. Jesus has suffered the price of what anyone could ever go through. That's why the movie The Passion depicts probably the closest way that Jesus really looked, but yet he was even further than that. That's why the prophet Isaiah says his visage was so marred beyond the recognition of the sons of men. So no one has ever suffered more than the Son of God himself. And for doing what? He had no sin. He didn't break any law. That's why all of us would have to stand as the lepers, all just giving the same disease to the other until Jesus came. And when they inspected him, he had no spot, no blemish, no wrinkle, no wrongdoing. And he perfected it so that we now, if you believe the report that through one man you are made a sinner, then you must believe that the last man, Jesus, has made you clean. It's not about a prayer. It's not pray this, pray that, give this, give that, do this to the church, do this for the church. It's not about that. It's not what you have ever done towards God. It's what he has done for you. And if he calls you clean, brother, sister, you are as clean as they come. It's that simple. So on your own time, read the first 10 verses. of Leviticus 14, and rightly divide the word of truth of 2 Timothy 2:15. And when you rightly divide it, you won't feel depressed anymore. You won't feel unclean. You won't feel unworthy, because you are as worthy as the Son of the living God. See, church makes you feel guilty. Sometimes you go to church and you feel worse than when you got there because of the preaching of condemnation. Well, because of us being new creations, therefore, now there is no condemnation in the children of God. Now, religion can make you feel that way, but the Spirit of God can, because He's going to tell you the truth. And the truth is, you are children of God, and nothing can change that. It's as simple as that. I'm not going to get into the argument of once saved, always saved, but there's people in church that are always striving, always wrestling with the gospel message. Well, I'm working on it. Well, I'm going to church a little bit more now. Well, now I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And you're going to find yourself, whenever you fail, you're going to find yourself in the same misery, still trying to get over something that God gave you the victory for on the same day you were saved. So, if He says that He's giving you the victory, what are you wrestling over? God's over here holding your hand up saying, He's won. He has the victory. And you're over here going, no, no, no. It's a done deal. He died for you on the cross. He resurrected from the dead. And then He ascended into heaven. So the ascension is very important. And they saw Him going into the heavens. And He says, why marvel ye? In the same way Jesus has ascended, He will descend and come back for His children. So get out of the religious game. Get out of saying, oh, well, I go to this church, or so-and-so is my pastor. You've got one Savior. His name is Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for this new beginning, for these brothers that are going to open the doors here this evening. I thank You, Lord, for the people that will be told in spirit where they are to go. Because, Lord, it's not just about going to a church. It's about being a member of a body that people can function in. So I thank You for the message that Moises and Jesus and Salvador and his wife have. Lord, I just felt, as my sister was standing next to me, I just felt Your surge of power go into her. And Lord, she is a prophetic voice. And what You have to say, You will speak through her. I know it's going to be new at the beginning, but Lord, she'll be able to receive this gift because it comes from You. Now Lord, let us rightly divide the word of truth. It is that we were all spiritual lepers. All of us were dying. All of us had it lost, were the only ones we could reach were others with our leprosy, and that's all we could give them. But now, because of the portrait painted to us in Leviticus 14, we see this awesome picture of the crucifixion, of the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. It's all there, Lord. So wherever we look, from Genesis to Revelation, we'll find the one that is the express image of the Father, and now has made us a family of the very, very heavenly camp, where the high priest of heaven's camp came himself to pronounce us clean now by the power of his blood. So we thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for every miracle that has happened today, seen and unseen, detected or not. We are believing that as we pray in your name, the miraculous will happen. To you, Lord, be the glory, and to us the blessing. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Bless you, saints.